God's mercy.
Are we together? So look at it again. It says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not what? Consumed. His compassion fail not. Now let me pay a little attention to that. When it says his compassion fails not, it means that throughout time, God's compassion would always be the same. Are we together? Yeah. So we started examining what you call Sodom and what?
Gomorrah.
And Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah's Ark is, those are two stories that makes believer, how can you say how can you say God does not kill? It's not God that destroys Sodom. It's not God that sent the flood to destroy. You know, a lot of theories around that. People say that angels were sleeping with daughters of men, and started giving birth to giants. So God wanted to preserve mankind. Then God now used flood to wipe everybody, excluding Noah and his family. You know, like I'll say over time, the day you believe that angels were sleeping with ladies before, one day, you will believe that the angel that visited Mary slept with her. Are we together? Yeah? One day, it will make sense to you. One theologian will just open YouTube channel and tell you the Greek word for the angel. Yeah, so when it says the angel visited Mary, the word there, visit, is the Greek word that has to do with an extent. You just fall for it. Why? Because you sometimes believe that angels used to sleep with women. Right? So in the real sense, angels never slept with women. It's even pathetic to think. So it means that if angels have reproductive organ, they also have this system. Okay, so imagine an angel is on an assignment and he just feels pressed. The things we believe as Christians that is interesting. Imagine, Angel Michael, why are you Angel Michael? Daddy God, now I'm coming, I'm going. The most important thing is that we do the message. I'm in the toilet. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So if you believe that angels have reproductive organ, you will believe that that angel that visited Mary slept with her. So that means that your Christian faith is on a comma. Because the fact of our Christian faith is the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin lady. Right? So when it says his compassion fails not, it simply means that what for every time in man's kind or in man's existence, God's compassion remains the same. Mind you, so if that means if destruction happens, it is not because God's compassion failed. Are we together? Bible tells you his compassion fails not. So if destruction happens, it is not because God's compassion fails, but really it's because man rejects God's compassion. Yeah. So start looking at that on look at Psalm 103. Look at Psalm 103, verse 3. Look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Look at verse 3. He says, who forgiveth all thy what? Iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Right? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Right? So, God's mercy is perpetually the same forever. But every new morning is a reminder to man that what? God's mercy endureth forever. You know, so it interests a lot of us to, you know, come into some truth. Look at Psalm 107. Let's jump that for now. Look at Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his what? Mercy endureth forever. Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. The redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us from the hands of the enemy. So God's mercy endureth forever. Look at Micah 7. Micah 7. Or before you go to Micah, go to Malachi. Before you go to Micah, quickly look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Are we Malachi 3? So it's not this one, don't go to table of contents. Right? Just open Matthew and just go back. Are we together? Right?
Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3, go. For I am the Lord, I change not. Hold on. Go back and say that again. Read that again. 1, 2, 3, go. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, God is a God who changeth not. God is a God who has a consistent character. Are we together? Right? You know, a lot of believers actually believe one way or the other that God actually was a God who was always angry. But Jesus now came to what? Pacify him. Put together. It is because you see God as one who destroys and does good. Right? Bible tells you. So, you see God as someone who is someone that's unstable. You see, if God, Bible tells in Malachi 3, he says that what? I am the Lord that changeth not. If God changed, right? And now he has a softer heart, it means we cannot trust him in the next 100 years. Are we together? Yeah? It means we cannot trust him. It means that we are not sure where the mood will swing to 100 years from now. Are we together? But you must understand that man's understanding about God is what changes over time. God himself doesn't change with time. Anything that makes God change with time, he is no longer God. Are we together? Yeah, so, that is where the conversation of the blood of Jesus has been sacrificed to who? Sacrificed to God, you know. See, the blood of, we've taught that severally, right? We did that in the last series, what happened in 3 days, the last Bible seminar. Right, and we explained that the blood of Jesus was not to God. Are we together? Yeah. If you say, or if we say, or conclude that the blood of Jesus was to God, it means that God and a herbalist, they are what, siblings? Right. It means that God is like a babalawo, but the difference is that God is the babalawo who people don't see. Are we together? So God now wanted to see blood. Blood now appeased God. No, that's ridiculous to say the least. Right? So God is a God that changeth not. So the blood of Jesus was for the conscience of man, for man to see. Are we together? For man to see and to repent of that. Are we together? Bible tells you in John 10:10, it says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to what? To destroy. But I've come to give you life that I may have it what? Abundantly. So it means for every time you see God kills, for every time you see God destroys, you can put God and the devil on the same pedestal. You will just find out that God is a better devil. Are we together? You just find out that God is a better God and devil. They do the same things. Yeah, so you know in mathematics there's something called LCM. So you can collect like terms, right? So when you put God, put the devil, collect like terms. First thing you say, what's common? They kill, collect. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. If you are one who sees God as somebody that when you sow a seed, right, he multiplies it. That's how you relate with man. You would almost not find yourself doing good for the sake of good. You will always be doing good because you are expecting a return. Are we together? But Bible tells you Malachi 3, it says, I am the Lord. Thank you. That changeth not. I am the Lord. Say for God. Say God is a God that changeth not. So God was not bad before and now soft. Jesus is not the softer version of God. Are we together? Yeah? Jesus, so you know, a lot of us still believe that God sent Jesus, right? So that mankind can see that there's still goodness in him. Are we together? Yeah? So God just looked at the earth and said, you know what? I'll send Jesus just so that they will know that there's still goodness in me. No, Jesus is God who put on flesh to reveal himself totally to man. Are we together? Are we together? You see John 14. Look at John 14. John 14 quickly. Look at John 14. Are we in John 14? John 14. Are we in John 14? Look at verse 5. John 14:5. Look at what it says. It says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, what did Jesus say unto him? Let's shoot together. 1, 2, 3, go. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now look at verse 7 carefully. Read together. 1, 2, 3, go. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have. What did Jesus say? If you've known me, you've known my Father. So knowing Jesus is knowing God. Knowing Jesus is not knowing a part of God. Are we here? Knowing Jesus is not knowing a part of God. Knowing Jesus is actually knowing God. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So Philip asks Jesus to reveal or show us who the Father really is. Look at Jesus' answer in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who did Philip say Jesus should show them? The Father. What did Jesus say? You've been a long time with me. You've not known me. Are we together? So knowing Jesus is knowing the Father. When Malachi tells you that God, I am the Lord that changeth not. Yeah. So Malachi tells you that I am the Lord that changeth not. Jesus came to show mankind that God changeth not. Are we here? I'm trying to lay a foundation again as to what we've been teaching about from time, right? So, in your minds, you need to understand who God really is. Say God is good. You know, in the Pentecostal environment, generally among saints, when the man leading says God is good, what do you respond to? All the time. But in your doctrine, you say something else, right? In your doctrine, so you see people who are praying to God to kill other people. And they respond all the time to God is good. Are we together? You know, a lot of us like the goodness of God for us. We love it for us. Ah, God, you are a good, good Father. He's who you are. He's who you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you know. But the next prayer you are praying, the next thing you are actually saying is that, God destroy, my God is good though, but he's a consuming fire. God's goodness is for me, but if you try me, he will wear the consuming fire aspect. And you know, we've talked over time, consuming fire has nothing to do with fire that consumes. The consuming fire of God actually engulfs with love. That's why Hebrews, the next verse tells you, let brotherly love continue. God has created a system on the earth such that when man gets involved in certain things, it has certain default results. Are we together? Of God for your life is one thing and is the same for you. Are we together? You know, a lot of us believe that God sent us to study engineering. Are we together? Yeah, God sent you to study, God has called me into the medical field. Or God, you like injection, right? You like syringe. It's not bad. There's nothing wrong in liking injection. Yeah, there's nothing wrong in liking the helmet, yellow helmet of engineers. But don't spiritualize it. You know, God just wants, you know, I sense a call on my life to venture into the engineering field. I started this teaching this morning by talking about how Peter, Paul, Jesus had only Genesis to Malachi as their Bible. Do you remember that? So where do you suppose James is getting this conclusion from? Genesis to Malachi. So if James tells you that God doesn't tempt man, it means that what happened in the Garden of Eden wasn't God tempting man. Are we here? Yeah? James tells you an outright fact. And he tells you, he says, God changeth not. In the real sense, it is that he doesn't tempt any man. So he says, let no man say, when I am tempted. James tells you, he says, do not err. That phrase just means do not go into error in your thinking or in your thoughts or in your conversations. Now, is it possible for a man to go into error about God? It's possible. Yeah. So it means that when a man says God tempt, so people have that practice. Yeah. God gave me this job to tempt me, to test me if I'll still be faithful. You know, James tells you outrightly, right? So the moment you go into that conclusion in your minds, in your heads, in your conversations, you have what? You've gone into error. What does he say? He says, do not err, my beloved what? Brethren. Are we together? So it means that a Christian can be a Christian for 50 years and be in error concerning God's character. Are we here? Now, let's go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, right? So in the real sense, a lot of people believe that the God of Old Testament is different from the God of New Testament. Yeah, Old Testament. And we've come to explain that Jesus, not the apostles, none of them called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. None. So, we can call it Old Testament for the sake of our learning, but it is not Old Testament because we teach everything about your so-called New Testament from those books. Are we together? Are we together? So, in the real sense, what Jesus referred to Genesis to Malachi as and the apostles, it is the Word of God. So, Genesis to Malachi is the Word of God. Not an Old Testament God who has now changed because Jesus has what? Poured blood on his heart. Are we together? Are we together? So, James tells you, do not err. So, we went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. We started explaining Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, on Sunday last week, we were teaching that Sodom and Gomorrah was a geographical location on the map. Remember that? Yeah? So, Sodom and Gomorrah was a place on the map. We now went on Wednesday for that to explain what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, a lot of us believe that Sodom and Gomorrah, their sin was what? Homosexuality. Remember that? Yeah? So a lot of believers today believe that it was homosexuality that caused or that made them destroyed. You know, but we started looking at it on Sunday, which we'll pay a little attention to again this morning. So look at Genesis 10, 19. Genesis chapter 10, verse 19. Genesis chapter 10, verse 19. Are we there? Are you there? So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the border of Canaanites was from Sidon, and thou comest to what? Gerar, unto Gaza, and thou goest unto where? And Gomorrah, and Adma, and Zebium, even unto Lashar. So Sodom and Gomorrah was a place that they could identify as a with an enclosed boundary. Altogether. So the same way you can say you are going to Kogi State today, you could say you are going to Sodom. Altogether. You could say you are going to Sodom. Sodom was a place. Right? So now, we've established that. Now, remember, who wrote Genesis? Moses. Where was Moses born? Exodus chapter 1 to 3. Are we together? So it means that ideally, everything in Genesis to Malachi, the whole of Genesis rather, had happened before Moses was born. Did you get that? Moses was born in Exodus, and everything in Genesis had happened before he was born. Now, how do you suppose Moses wrote Genesis? There was a practice of what you call oral tradition. How do you know about your grandfather? Your father told you. How will your child know about your grandfather? You will tell your child. We should pay attention to what he wrote. Let's backtrack a little. We're in Sodom, right? No, we're not in Sodom. We're in Abuja. Yeah. So, let's backtrack a little. Moses will say, Garden of Eden. Moses will tell you that there's a tree of life and a tree of what? Knowledge of what? Good and evil. Moses plays with your mind. But you will not know. Can there be a tree that the fruit is life? Amen? Can there be a tree that the fruit is knowledge of good and evil? Imagine you went to a restaurant and after they served you, you know, pineapples and mangoes and all of those things, you know, say, waiter, please come. You know, can you just slice a little knowledge of good and evil beside? You know, they will laugh at you. Or you say, can you just put a little fruit, a little, just, I don't want the full life. Just slice life and put inside the plate. You know, they will mock you. But Moses now writes tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he wasn't talking about tree. Are we together? Very intelligent writer. So Moses wrote about who? Jesus. The prophet wrote about who? Yeah. So it means that we need to go back and see Sodom and Gomorrah and see what really happened or why were they destroyed. So look at Genesis. Go to Genesis 8. They're just basic things. So if God offers you a hand of help and you reject it, what happens? You will get a harvest. Think about it this way. Imagine you were in a ship. Imagine I was in a ship and there was storm all around and you were sinking in the water. And I in the ship stretched my hand to you. Everyone, are we listening? I stretched my hand to you to save you. Right? There are two seeds you can plant at that point. Is that true? There are two seeds you can plant at that point. The first seed is what? The seed of receiving my hand. Second seed is what? Rejecting my hand. For each of those seeds you plant, there's a harvest. Did you get that? Right? So if you receive my hand, what happened? What's the harvest? You are saved. If you reject my hand, what's the harvest? You are destroyed. So that's the same thing with salvation. Salvation is God's plan, God's hand stretched forth to man. And when man receives, he is saved. When man rejects, what happens? He is destroyed, is condemned. Which is what you now call the figure of speech when you now say the wrath of God. Are we together? So the wrath of God is the figure of speech where God is not after. Think about it this way. God is on the ship. He's stretching his hand to save you. You reject it. How did God destroy you? You got a repercussion for what? Your action, which is the seed you sowed, which is what? Rejecting his offering. Are we together? So if God sends a messenger to you and tells you, don't go to that place, so and so. Don't do this, so and so. On this day, so and so. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Right? In the real sense, if you reject that message and something terrible happens to you there, what did you do? You will get that is really a repercussion for your decision to reject what God asks you not to do. That's really what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. So look at Genesis. Genesis. Look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 20. Let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, what will happen? I will go down and see whether they have done together according to the cry of it, which is common to me, and if not, I will know. Right? So the cry in Sodom and Gomorrah is really the cry of Lot. Right? But look at what now happens in Genesis chapter 19. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Are we here? And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the what? Ground. Are we following? Verse 2. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Now, when you see angels, what should come to your mind first? Mercy. Look at verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Behold now, I have two daughters which I have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under shadow of my... So, what's the narrative? They wanted to sleep with the men. Are we together? What did Lot say? Do you pray for that kind of father? Do you pray for that kind of father? I'm not asking all gender. That your father can, in the love of God, right, decide to offer you as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, to do of his good pleasure. You know, and he offers you to men. You know, you don't pray for that kind of father. Yeah. You know, this goes back to, there are a lot of things we you know, I was talking to someone recently about the story of Esther. You know, and remember the story of Esther now, right? Esther, a star, right? And she came in for a beauty pageant stuff. And you know, an interesting thing, believe that, that's all we see from them. A night with the king. Are we together? A night with the king. Right? And you fail to see that Esther, in the real sense, is a type of Christ. In the real sense, Esther fasted for many days. 3 days, right? 3 days to appear before the king. Yeah, Jesus in the tomb for 3 days to appear before the Father. Where I go, that you may be also. John 14. Right, you know, so, and in the rule says it, she fasted for 3 days so that she can appear before the king so that she can rescue her people. Is that Jesus? Yeah, so when you read Esther, and what you see from there is a flyer of beauty, what do you call it, beauty contest. You know, the careful. But you know, it's interesting to know that Jesus, not the apostles, none of them quoted Esther. Just know that one. Altogether, none of them quoted Esther. Yeah. So it means that Esther can only. Let me see what I would say. Yeah. So I was saying something, right? So in the real sense, right? Lot offered his daughters to some men. Are we together? In order to save some men. Who were the other people he wanted to save? Two messengers. Are we together? Please, don't lose what I'm about to say right now. Are we together? Look at verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Look at verse 11. And they smote the men by the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wait themselves to find the door. Look at verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. Okay, hold on. Hold on. We jump something very important. Right? Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Are we in verse 12? 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read. Men said unto Lot, has thou... Look at that again. It says, and the men said unto Lot, has thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Verse 13, 1, 2, 3, go. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great. Now, remember we said something. When you see the word Lord in the Bible, it's not always talking about who? God. Hold your hands there. Go to 2 Samuel. Why in Genesis, right? Genesis 19. Go to 2 Samuel quickly. 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24. Are we there? Look at verse 1. And the anger of the... Are we here? And the anger of the what? Of the Lord was kindled against what? And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and what? Judah. So an average man would have felt the anger of God, right? Are we here? Look at verse 10. And David had smote him after he had numbered the people. I thought the Lord asked him to number the people. How come in verse 10? His heart smote him after he did that. And what did David say unto God, unto the Lord? Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3, go. I have sinned greatly in that I have done. Now I beseech thee, O Lord. So is the word Lord in verse 1? Is the word Lord in verse 1? Is the Lord what? Is the Lord? I just said myself, is the Lord word Lord? Yeah, so is the word Lord in verse 10? Did I say word Lord for verse 1? Anyways, is the word Lord in verse 1? Is the word Lord in verse 10? Beautiful. So David goes back and apologizes to the Lord in verse 10. And there's another Lord in verse 24 that says, number the people. So how can God ask you to number the people, and after you do what God asks you to do, you now say, ah, I'm sorry, Lord, I've sinned greatly. God doesn't have mood swing. All together. Look at 1 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles, the next book. 1 Chronicles, next two books, really. 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. Are we there? 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Look at verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Okay, when we read 2 Samuel, is that the same story? When we read 2 Samuel, what do you see? The anger of the Lord provoked David to number the people. When we read 1 Chronicles, what do we see? Satan provoked David to number the people. So can you see, it now makes sense in verse 9, in verse 8, when you now see 1 Chronicles 21:8, and David said unto God, I have sinned greatly. You see, Chronicles doesn't just use Lord in verse 1 and Lord in verse 10, like 2 Samuel. Chronicles in verse 1 tells you who? Satan. Satan stood up. And what does Chronicles now make you say in verse 8? David said unto who? God. Are we together? So you must have seen Lord and think he's a confused Lord in verse 10 of 2 Samuel. But when you now read 1 Chronicles, it says, and David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee that you see the word God with capital letter G. Doesn't mean it is God, though. Are we together? Yeah. So, you see, we only call this the word of God to the degree in which we properly interpret the scriptures. Are we here? We only call this the word of God to the degree in which we accurately interpret the scriptures. What do I mean? If you say this is the word of God and you are being absolute about that, you are trying to infer that everything in this Bible is God talking. But is that true? Men spoke, right? Did the devil speak? Did the angel speak? Did God speak? Yeah. So we only understand this as the word of God to the degree in which we have a proper interpretation of scriptures. Right? So I took us to 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and all of that to show you that, you know, when you see the word Lord or the word God, it's not always about God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So go back to Genesis 19. Look at Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Are we here? Genesis chapter 19. So, when he now tells you in verse 13, the Lord had sent us to destroy. Are we here? The Lord has sent us to, will that Lord be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because if it is the Lord, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it means that John 10:10, we can call God that sent them the thief. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So if it's actually God that sent them, it means that God is a thief in Genesis 19. Are we here? Are we here? Now, what was the message on the lips of the messengers? Do you have more people other than your sons, your son-in-laws, and your daughters? What do you do? Take them out of this city, for destruction is coming. Are we here? When you read verse 13, does it show you that Lot had son-in-laws? Check verse 13 again. Is it verse 13 or verse 12? Verse 12. Yeah. Son-in-laws, sons, daughters. Are we here? Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law. So, let me ask you a question. Was Lot a messenger in verse 14? What was his message? He spoke to his son-in-law. What did he say to them? See what he says. And speak. There are a lot of things that are going through my head here. If you read previous verses, it tells you that Lot wanted to offer his daughters who have known no men. Oh, you are thinking that direction too. Lot wanted to offer his daughters who have known no men. And he now tells his daughters are married. What was really happening? Comrade, okay? What was really happening? Are you married or you are not married? Are you with a man or you are not with a man? But it shows you that there is son-in-law, there is son. He now tells you, let's assume he had plenty of daughters. Are we together? Right? So, he now tells his son-in-laws, which married his who? And said, up, get out of this place. Is that a message? Is that a message with an instruction? What is the message? Get out of this place, right? For the Lord, remember we've established who the Lord can possibly be, right? For the Lord will destroy. So a better way to read that would be, get up of this place or get out of this place, for there is destruction coming. Did you see that? There is destruction coming. It will make sense to you just shortly, right? But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son. So that means his sons-in-law, they what? They mocked him. Is that similar to Noah? Right? Noah was building ark for 120 years. That's Genesis 6. You know, so, you know, it's from that story we have people say that God has made man to now start living up until 120 years, right? Is that true? You know that theory? God has reduced the number of man's age to now 120, right? Because he says the number of man on earth will be 120. Really, that is a message to Noah that in 120 years, there is destruction. Are we together? So in 120 years, yeah, as at that time, people should be in the ark. What did you do to Noah? They what? They mocked him. What think about yourself? Won't you mock Noah? Won't you mock Noah? Think now. How can someone just be putting wood together? Haven't I tells you in First Peter that Noah, the preacher of what? Righteousness. So Noah was preaching for 120 years that destruction is coming. Enter this ark. Who wrote that? Moses. So stiff-necked people did not start today. That is why as a church, we cannot encourage stiff-necked people by the activities we do in the church. Are we together? Like I always say, so imagine we came to church this morning, and after they finish singing, we have that script. The red jeans are white. One run from here, one run from here, one run from here. Look like this. DJ will now start playing from there. You need to spend time in God's word to the degree or to a point where you keep spending time in God's word. Are we together? You know, I was telling you an example. Someone was asking me a question. What time is your meeting? What time do you start church on Sunday? I said, by 9. When do you finish? I think it was like by 10:50, you should be done back. Why do you say like that? Are you reporting me to me? You know, and I said, by 12, maximum, I try not to be teaching by 12. You notice, by 11:59, mostly I plug the mic, just so that I don't enter 12, right? And in the real sense, so that's it. Hey, what will you be saying? What will you be saying? You know, a lot of people believe that church is just a place where we just jamboree together, snap pictures after, then post, then say, today's service was glorious. What did you learn? Nothing. Fell for the 30 minutes high praise. You now came to low worship. After low worship, you now went to, you now prayer. The man that will lead prayer is for 5 minutes, and the only thing he does during prayer is just confession. Say after me. That's why you have believers who spend time in their place of work praying and come to church to play. If you pray only 5, you know a lot of believers don't pray outside church. Ask yourself, please. Okay. So you now come to church. Oh, yes, greater is he that is in me. You know, none of those plenty grammar. You know, after that one, another high praise. Everybody will pull shirts, move handkerchief. Why am I security people? Everybody say, yeah. Everybody will sweat. When pastor now takes the mic, he has not even said open the first scripture. So wow. You know the attention span of man is low. Nowadays we need to relate with the people on the level they are. You know, not everybody can listen for long. You know you can listen for long. Yeah? Anybody who cannot listen to God's word for 1 hour plus, you have an ungodly attention span. And when I mean ungodly, I just really mean to make it godly, you just need to practice it over time. Yeah, your attention span can listen to God's word. You can listen to God's word for 10 hours. Are we together? You can listen to God's word for 10 hours. You can. What I mean 10 hours, not the one you're cooking beans, blending moi moi, all the old sound will blend together in your room. You know, and all of that. I'm talking of you can actively listen to God's word for 10 hours. Are we together? Anyways, look at Genesis 19. Where we really are. You know, and that makes us understand. So when we sing the song we sang earlier today, I will go. Yeah, I will go will only make sense when you have proper teaching. I will go. You don't know anything. You can't go anywhere. Is it not true? Why do believers shy away from evangelism? Because they don't what? They don't know. I did not add anything. But they don't know. A lot of people are scared of how people will confront them with questions. But if you are one who has given yourself to Bible study, giving yourself to prayer, to the place of prayer, spend hours praying, spend hours studying. You won't shy away. It is from the place of study. You cannot give what you don't have. So when you come to church, come with a mind to stay. Don't be eager to leave the Garden of Saints. Come with your heart ready. Some people, they when they come to church, their church is, they start cooking beans on Sunday morning and leave it on. You know, there's a way you can do the timer. Just leave it on. Quickly, you want to quickly go and worship God. By the time you come back, it's made for you to just add red oil and eat. I'm coming. Let me just quickly go and attend service. Let me quickly just go to church and come back. People, we need to give ourselves to this. There's so much to learn. See, there's so much to learn. See, there's so much to unlearn. And there's so much to learn. How did I get there this morning? Genesis 19. And I was just trying to explain. So look at verse 15. 14 says that they mocked him. Verse 15 says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hasting Lot. What did they say to them? Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Verse 16, 1, 2, 3, go. While he lingered in. So, was the Lord being merciful to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Was the Lord being merciful to them? How do you see the Lord's mercy? There were two messengers that were there or sent to deliver a message of what? Leave. This city will be destroyed. So, Lot will say, it is of the Lord's mercy we are not what? Consumed. Is it that God did something particular for Lot outside of Lot's decision? Do you know what I just said? Is it that God did something particular? So, how did God deliver Lot? God delivered Lot by sending a messenger to inform Lot to leave the city. His sons and his sons-in-law, they did what? They mocked him. But he went with his wife, who did not even go far.
Okay, didn't follow.
Right? So, we'll get there again today. So, Lot left with his wife and his daughters. So, that means the message that Lot... So, two messengers gave Lot a message. Lot delivered the message to others. What did they do? They rejected Lot. In rejecting Lot, they rejected his message. Are we together? I remember I went to Noah. So Noah was preaching for 120 years. They rejected Noah. So in mocking Noah, they mocked Noah's message. You know that if all of them in that time, you know that ark was big enough to contain everybody in that time. Do you know that? How can you be, and have you seen the description of what the ark size is? Very massive. It couldn't have been for only Noah and his three children, Ham, Shem, and whatever, and their wives. That ark was big enough to house the city. But what happened? They rejected Noah's message of destruction ahead, and they were what? So was it God that destroyed them? In the research, what is the destruction to them? They got a recompensation for rejecting the message and the messenger. Same thing with the gospel, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not but have everlasting life. John 3:33 now tells you that he that believeth on him shall not be condemned, yeah, has received eternal life. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. For the wrath of God dwelleth on. What is the wrath of God? It is the recompensation you get for rejecting God's offering to save. So now, let me now backtrack to a question I asked on Wednesday. Yeah? The people that were involved in homosexuality, if they had run away from that city, would they be destroyed? You see that? So can you see it's not homosexuality that destroyed them? You see that? If they were involved in homosexuality and they ran away from the city, the destruction of Sodom will not locate them because they are Sodomites. Are we together? So can you see it's not homosexuality that destroyed them? So why were they destroyed? They were destroyed in the fact that they rejected the message to leave. Are we here? Have we gone home? We're here. So what now happens? Lot leaves the place. You don't see the record of Lot's son or Lot's son-in-law. You know, if you read, continue reading, you see that they went to a new city. Then the daughters now felt like they've not had any children. They should sleep with their father. You know, we read this Bible, right? Okay, look at it. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind. Right? Neither stay thou in all the plains. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be what? Consumed. Look at verse 18. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant has found what? In the sight, in thy sight. So, Noah found grace in the sight of God. What is the only thing that can be found in the sight of God? Grace. So when he says Noah found grace, it's not that he looked, he see danger, he run. He see destruction, he run. He sees whatever, he runs. He now say, ah, there is grace. No. It is in the response to what Noah says, or Noah actually does, with the message given to him, that you say, oh, he found grace. So let me ask you a question. 2 Timothy 3, scripture that to make the wise unto what? What should you see? Did God want to save Sodom and Gomorrah? Did God want to save Sodom and Gomorrah? Did he send a messenger? Did he send a message? What was the message and the messenger? And what was the messenger and the message? You get the point. What was the message? To leave the city. You see that? So God's plan was to save Sodom and Gomorrah. Not that, you know, some people are very interested right now. You people, you are just saying, today you are a girl, tomorrow you say you are a boy. Today you are a boy, you say you are a girl. Don't worry. No, that isn't it. That isn't it. That isn't it. I want to look for a little trouble now. Will a believer who is involved in homosexualism... Okay, let's not go there. Don't answer the question I've not asked. Don't answer the question I've not asked. Praise God. Yeah, don't answer the question I didn't ask. Let me even ask you the question. Is a believer who is involved in evangelism going to be in heaven? Okay, the answer is yes. Hallelujah. You see, your slant towards certain conversations on earth doesn't make you or not make you a believer. Did you get that? The only thing that makes a man saved is believing the message of the ark. Are we here? Let me ask you a question. The men in those days who were wicked, if they ran into the ark, would they still be saved? What made them saved? They were in safety. Let me now ask you further. Could they have been in safety and continue doing nonsense? Could they have been in safety and continue doing nonsense? Let me answer the yes. So, think about yourself now. Has God not saved you? Think about yourself now. So, can a man who is saved, who is in the ark, keep doing nonsense? Will the nonsense make him leave the ark? No. Because the ark, gracious Father, you need to read the story of Noah. You will see the story of how when man entered. Who closed the door of Noah's ark? God, true man. Say, God, true man. I don't like the way people treat me in this church. You use me to injure me. Praise God. So, once you are in the ark, baptized in the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, and they are what? Perpetually, continuously saved. So, don't look at spiritual salvation right now. Look at physical salvation in Noah's ark. The fact that that man who is homosexual in that Noah's ark continued even sleeping with his male partner in the ark, does that remove them from the ark? No, now, because it's not your not sleeping that puts you in the ark. It's your believing that destruction is coming and walking into the ark. Are we together? Yeah? So, there are believers who their conducts don't sound like believers. But what makes you saved is not your conduct. What makes you saved is his conduct. Yeah, the singular work he has done in the resurrection. Once a man believes, he's saved forever. They call us one name, Osas. You know what Osas is? Osas is the Greek way of saying what? Once saved, always saved. A man is always saved. God cannot afford to put the responsibility of your salvation in your hands. You are too small. You are too small. He put a seal in you, which is the Holy Ghost, by himself. If God put something here, you can't remove it. Are we together? So there are believers who don't act like believers, but they are believers. Let me interest you. There are believers who put their head on the floor on Friday, Marshall Ashi. Yeah? There are believers who actually think they say, I denounce. You cannot denounce your way out of God's hand. You are too small. Like I always tell you, you go to the 10th floor of a building, yeah? You now jump down. After you've already released yourself from the 10th floor, I'm not jumping again. I don't do it again. I don't do it again. What happened? I don't do it again. You've actually the ability not to do it again has left your hand. Same thing with salvation. So, like I was saying, man's free will is to the degree of God's sovereignty. And God's sovereignty is the degree of man's free will. No matter how your free will is free, you cannot free will yourself to Canada. No matter how free will your free will is. Right? So, when we teach these things, we are pointing your attention to see God's character as the same. So, God wanted to save Sodom, and in saving Sodom, he sends message. Yeah? So, a message goes ahead of time, people believe. Yeah, so now look at it.
Let me say it this way.
Lot's son-in-law and his sons were not saved automatically by being from the lineage or being family members with Lot. Do you get that? They needed to make their decision to either leave or to stay. Are we together? And some of us are Christians by birth. You know what that means? You were born into a Christian home. You were doing more in devotion. You grew up in that setting. You know, I'm a Christian. Yeah, no, you don't become a Christian by lineage. You don't inherit Christianity. You don't inherit the spirit, indwelling of the spirit. Yeah, the message has to be preached to you, and you what? You believe. So now, back to Lot's story. Lot gives the message, right? And some people reject the message, and some people accept the message. I know where I was going to. Women sleeping with their father. Look at it now. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. And my soul shall what? Leave. Look at verse 21. Let's shoot together. 1, 2, 3, go. See, I have accepted thee concerning these things also, that I will not overthrow the city. Now verse 22, 1, 2, 3, go. Haste thee, escape thither, anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called what? Let's read verse 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. That means Lot journeyed out of Sodom. Are we together? Next verse. Verse 25. 26. So, when I taught that on Wednesday, when you say Lot's wife looked back, it just really means that the slant of her heart was as equal to the slant of the people who chose not to run away from the city. Altogether. So they were in a city where that was supposed to be destroyed. But because they built so much inheritance and built so much properties, you know it's not easy. You have 5 estates in Abuja. One messenger comes and tell you that you should leave Abuja. You know it's not easy to leave your properties and just go. You know? Apparently, you know, that is why you see believers. Yeah? When God speaks it through one, he will confirm to another. Are we together? Yeah, but in the real sense, they were boasting more in their works than in the message of faith to live. So same thing with Lot. Lot looking back to the city and turned to a pillar of salt, right? Just simply means that she did not agree or accept the message of faith to live without turning back. That's why when you sing songs like, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Yeah, so Moses wrote it that way for you to see that, yeah, you know what? Lot, the wife of Lot, the slant of her heart was as good or equal to the slant of the heart of the people in Sodom. Are we here? Are we here? Look at verse, what verse are we now? Verse 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning in the place where he stood before the Lord and looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, toward the land of the plain, and behold, beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as smoke of a furnace. Let's read verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar. How do you pronounce that? Zoar, right? And dwelt in the what? Mountain. And his two daughters with him, right? For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave, and his who? Oh yeah, look at verse 31. Oh yeah, 1, 2, 3, go. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of us. What were they really saying? Yeah, Lot's son, who would culturally continue the name, will perish in Sodom. Right? Are we here? Lot's sons, who would ideally call, continue the name of Lot, will perish in Sodom. So the daughters now say, oh, actually, in the real sense, yeah, there's nobody who will continue our father's lineage. So look how it now says. Look at verse 32. 1, 2, 3, go. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will what? What does it mean to lie with him there? To know him. What does it mean to know him? To lie with him. Yeah, and lie with him, that we may what? Preserve seeds of our father. And they made their father what? And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she laid down, nor when she arose. Oh, gracious father. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. My father is your father. Let us make him drink this night and go down in a line in him that we preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drunk again 2 nights in a row, back to back. Praise God. You know, it interests you. Lot is delivered from danger. The first thing he does is drink. You know, Noah was delivered from danger. The first thing he did was drink. Praise Jesus. Did I just say anything? Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Oh, Christ. Where were we? Let's read verse 36 together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. You know that all that you see in 5 verses there, it took 9 months. I hope you know. Every lady will carry baby for 9 months and deliver. So that you read it in 3 verses doesn't mean that as soon as they just slept this night, next morning. Yeah. So it interests you that they got their father drunk, you know, and after doing that, in the real sense, the next thing that happens was that they find themselves in a position of knowing their father. Yeah, and they knew their father, and they, you know, what an accurate way of having word of knowledge. How are you sure that you sleep with your father and it's a son that will come out? So does that mean that if they are slept and the woman came out, they will do it again? Are we together? Yeah, but that just shows you when they say they drank, it's just that they were marrying. You know, in Jewish culture, it's an act of marrying to drink. I don't want to use the word in your mind. It's an act of marrying to drink. Which one should we use? Okay. It's an alcohol, and I didn't want to use alcohol. It's an act of marrying to drink, you know, grape juice with a little taste, fermentation. Who says that? Grape juice with a little fermentation. You see, there are conversations the believers, you know, shy away from. You know, and in the real sense, this is not to say go out and buy alcohol and be drinking. Because, you know, the funny thing, there was a pastor in the UK years ago. The day he thought about alcohol and how he's not seen, all his church members became drunkard. You see, a lot of people know what they should not do and what they should do. But they are trying to look for who to justify it so they can pin it on the person. Are we together? You want to look for who will justify it so that you can say, my pastor said, it's not from my mouth, you will hear. Eh? They were drinking wine, it was Old Testament covenant, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Don't laugh and let it end there, please. But interest is no. First Corinthians, Paul tells you, he says, some of you are getting drunk, some of you are not drunk. That's literally what you're saying. Yeah? There was wine in the church for sharing. People were drinking more, and others did not have. So people that were drinking more were drunk. So he now questions them and says, do you not have houses? Right? You know, so the conversation about alcohol really is not a, you cannot teach it from scriptures as an outright sin. Amen? But you can just stay away from some things because of the Christian faith. Are we here? The Bible says that, you know, the love in our hearts, right, is to what? Is to constrain us altogether. The love in our hearts constrains us. So, you don't, look at it. That means there are some things that will not be seen, but you will not do them because of the love of God in your heart. Altogether. No one can hear me now and think I'm an alcoholic. I've never tasted alcohol in my life. Someone say, wow, okay. It's not something I'm saying so that I'm trying to support myself at the backyard, you know, so that day you catch me. But Pastor on the 27th of November, he said it. Yeah, but there's a lot of things you just stay. So there's certain things you will stay away from just because of the love of God in your heart. Are we together? That doesn't now mean because you're staying, you can't be doing inside the room. You know, believers can be interesting. Yeah, this is for the love of God amongst brethren. Why can't I just be myself in my house? You know, but in the real sense, it's just. See, all things are what, but not all things are expedient. There are some things you will stay away from deliberately. Yeah, you cannot teach, for instance, that going to the club is bad or is a sin. Abi, you talk to Romans and see it. You won't teach that, you know, but you will know that really you shouldn't be found in certain places. But sure, you said that's true. It's just basic. Yeah, because the world is in a phase right now. I've closed there, so I'll just round up here. So the world is in a phase right now where there's a lot. Have we finished Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay, before I go to where the world is right now. So Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot looked back. Sodom and Lot. Lot's wife looked back. Lot was delivered and his daughters. If you hear of a friend, Sister Obong, you hear of a friend who sleeps with her father, what comes to your mind? Eh? Incest. Should that be a sin? Should that be a sin? So the first thing that people who were delivered from Sodom did, are we together? Yeah? What delivers a man is believing the message of salvation, and what destroys a man is rejecting the message of salvation. Once you believe it, you are saved forever. Yeah? God holds you to the ultimate. John 10:28, he that gave to me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of my hands. If God holds you, bro, if God should hold you, none of us believe that Christian faith, we are the one holding on to God. Yeah, you now say, draw me nearer, present. God is ever your present help in time of trouble, time of need. He's always there. So when you think you are, when you see or it seems like you are far from God, God didn't move. Are we together? In your conscience, you need to realign your conscience to say that, oh, you need to be where God is. Yeah, so it will reflect in your conduct. Right? So they were delivered. The first thing they go do, get their fathers drunk and sleep with their father. Out here. So rejecting the message of the messenger was what made the people of Sodom destroyed. Now, do you suppose that, let me ask you a question. Are there cities on earth today that have been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah? Are there cities on earth today that, let me, what destroyed people in Noah's time? Flood. Are there cities today that have been destroyed by flood? That means rainbow has no meaning. No. I thought, maybe it's in the Bible where you see that God says, I make a covenant with man, I will not destroy the mankind again. and the proof of this sign or the proof of this covenant is what? The rainbow. But are there people who have been destroyed with flood on this earth, even while the rainbow is shining? Are we together? Yeah. So all those rainbow, all those things, they're just things God has put in. Stars, all those. You know, don't be so. There's what I used to call people like that. It's interesting, yes, but there's what I used to call people like that. Don't be so. No. What's this word now? When you are being so. When you are being so metaphysical, or when you are being so. When you attach meaning to everything, you are praying inside the auditorium, rain fall, you say God is sending shower of blessing. Hey, that's the word superstitious. That's the word superstitious. You are praying inside this thing. Your dog, your church is open. Dove fly inside and went round. And he flew out again. He said, that's the angel of the Lord. I mean, that's the Holy Ghost. You know, like I said during the vigil, right? There was no dove in Jesus' baptism. No, dove did not come from anywhere. Right? There's nothing attached to dove. Eh? There's nothing attached to rainbow. Nothing attached to star. Genesis 8:32 tells you, cold winter remains, summer remains, day night remains. Heat cold remains. Are we together? So there's really nothing attached to. You know something? When they see rainbow, they begin to point to the rainbow and begin to pray. But that is a sign of God's covenant. No, don't be superstitious. Look at them and say, don't be superstitious. Say, don't be superstitious. How to get it? It's superstition that makes you say, when God smiles. When God smiles, we call it rainbow. When he speaks, we call it thunder. It's just superstition. It's just superstition, really. God smiles, rainbow. How many times do rainbow come out in a year? How many times do rainbow come through in a year? How many times do thunder strike in a year? So it means that God's spirit only permeates the air during rainy season. Wait, let me ask you a question. If you are under this Amatan rhythm, you're just going home and you hear thunder, would you run? Would you run? Maybe you say Shango as they're pursuing somebody. Yeah, so don't be surprised. You don't attach things. Colossians will tell you, right? We don't give ourselves into all these rudiments of high sounding nonsense. It's nonsense. Yeah, you know you can teach nonsense so eloquently and people will cry. Do you agree with me? You can be very eloquent in nonsense and people will cry. People will move. You know, nonsense can be well arranged. It's the truth. It's the truth. And you know, let me now say something. You know that in this day and time, a lot of us prefer to hear nonsense. Do you agree with me? Because it's all those economic, you know. So we believe that we want to win. Let's end in Colossians. Colossians 1 verse 2 verse 8. Are we Colossians 2 8? Let's read Colossians 2 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. When you see beware, it means be. No, Paul will tell you in Philippians 3 2, beware of dogs. And the definition of dogs there is evildoers and evil teachers and all of that. So let's read verse 8 collectively together. Colossians 2, 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, not... What does that mean? Right? Empty. Who has the NLT translation here? NLT. You have NLT? Beautiful. Can you just read?
Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ.
Yeah. So don't let anyone capture you with what? HSN. High-sounding nonsense. You see, to defeat the devil, you have to leave your seat and make sure you are fit on your feet. HSN 2 is, if the money in your hand cannot meet your need, you saw as a HSN. If your life is tight, check your HSN. What again? Yes. If you are suffering, check your offering. HSN. You know, the world is so divided such that a lot of givers will still suffer. You know, givers never lack. It's not absolute. I'm not giving yet. Givers never lack. You know, it's not absolute. But the Christian faith teaches that we give and give even when we lack. Do you get that? Yeah. So we don't give so we escape lack. No. If you have 1 million in your pocket and you give the church 950,000, what do you have left? 50K. God is not you times 100 though. And look, I can always say, if that is how money is multiplied, I shouldn't be poor. I shouldn't be poor. What do? I start with 500 naira. I'm patient. 500 naira and what? Patience. I sow it. What happens? Seed. Wait for time. Then I get what? 5K. What do? I remove initial capital. All together. I reward. Invest. Then what again? 500,000. What do? Remove 4-5. If you sure you put it. If you sure you put it. If you are sure. And you know what's interesting? Are there people who claim to have testimonies from sowing seed? Me say, I can still tell you some testimonies I shared in time past. But I later realized the joke was on me. Honestly, I just later realized that the joke was on me. The joke is really on you. Right? So you tell you, I just sold this money and everything in my life turned upside down. Thank God it's upside down. I just gave this one, you know, God told me. Now, can you have promptings in your heart to enter your account and give a believer? Yes, so you can, no. Don't fight the Spirit of God, though. But it is not the Spirit of God that will promise you an extra because you gave that. It's not the Spirit of God. So when you see people, when you see where they are promising you, God will multiply your seed. It's not from the Spirit of God. It's not from the Bible. You can't teach it from the Bible. It's not God. God said, there are 10 of you here. Right? If you can just, the last thing you need to move to that next level is to drop $500. Some people will go and read Psalm 8. They go and read Psalm 8. They say drop $800. What happened to Naira? Why $800? Why did you add two more zeros? Why dollar? Why did you just say 8 Naira? Let God multiply it. I was getting, so all of these things are just high sounding nonsense. It's not found in Christ. Christ didn't teach it. Paul didn't teach it. Moses never taught it. Peter never taught it. John never taught it. John and James never taught it. It's just empty. And you know, like I always say, even some of you that are laughing, if I wear that catch up one day and come and ask you to drop, you will drop. I know where to start from. And every person has lack, especially in this part of the world. And every person has lack. So if I come, I massage that part of your heart that recognizes your lack. It will drop. I was telling somebody in one of those meetings in one of those fellowships in the UK, you know, and I told the lady, and I said, look at me, if I want to remove money from you now, I will do it. She was looking at me joking. For me, I know. If I want to get money from you, Brashegun. Anyway, so some of you overheard me say it, so it will not work. But me, I'm still telling you. I know where to bring balance. And it will work. Yeah? Let me end here. I always give this narrative, right? Right? Give yourself to the things of God. And give yourself as an end in itself, not as a means to an end. When you serve God, men will serve you. It's not true. in Peter, in Timothy, in Ephesians, in Colossians, Paul will address servants in the church and masters in the church. Not everybody on earth can be a master. Imagine Paul says, servant, have a one-mindedness heart to your master. He said, no, God forbid, I can't be a servant. Please, who is the CEO here? Don't raise your hand. So, when you remove those people, all of us, I'm not talking of CEO, where you just open company and just you just open company and just everything you on your on Instagram or your birthday, the only you are the only staff of the company. We want to wish our CEO. We are wishing our CEO happy birthday today. Only you are the staff. Only you are the media personnel. You are the one that do the advert and sponsored ad. Only I don't know. Eh? I'm talking about those kind of CEO. You know nowadays, everybody CEO. 10,000 naira, give my time, we won't call me for you. He won't call me for you, CEO. Now I'm talking about those kind of CEO. I'm talking about those kind of CEO. You know, one of the most deadly places to be on this social media platform is LinkedIn. LinkedIn. Okay? 20 years ago, I thought I wouldn't be where I am today. And they will rise to. People that are looking for a job. And you go to somebody's page, you see MD / CEO. When you even hear the name of the company itself, you know that this company doesn't exist or it's not making impact. You know, percentage of this, say this. In Nigeria, an average person is poor. You know that? In Nigeria, let me not say an average person. In Nigeria, most of us are poor. Facts. Don't debate it. You know, you say, okay. You know, it's very interesting. You know, I always tell people, there are three ways to answer questions when you ask me about material gospel, right? When people teach that the gospel comes with your money, there's money in the gospel. Three ways to answer. Either you use proper analysis of scriptures, ask common question, common sense question, and ask direct question. Okay, you now that you have believed the gospel, what do you have? When were you born again? From then to today, what do you have? You know, this news came out again and it was trending a few weeks ago, right? 45 million Nigerians have BBN, right? Nigeria had over 200 million people. Out of the 45 million Nigerians who have BBN, less than 2% can boast of 500K and above in their account. Are you in the number? Are you in the number? Are you in the number? You know what I mean? 2%, 1% of 45 million is 450,000 people. 2% is 900,000 people. Let's assume there are 100,000 people who don't have any bank account, which is not possible, but can have over 500K. You can't have. Do you think it's possible to have 100,000 people who don't have accounts, but they have millions of money? It's possible. Is it possible they have 200,000? It's relative. Let's add everybody together. Let's give them. Let's say, so that's 900,000. So only 1 million Nigerians can boast of 500,000 naira. 500,000 naira is less than £1,000. Right? Let's even less than $1,000. I will go. Many more men are saved. I will go. So, less than 1 million Nigerians out of 200 million Nigerians can boast of 500K and above. That includes Babalawo. That includes Mamalawo. Uncle Lawo. Senator. Chief Imam. Then the Christians together. So, all of us together, less than 1 million. So, it means that if you have a church, for instance, who seats 100,000 people, if they can boast of 500 people, who can have over 500K in their account, they are doing well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's teach this way. Take a church, for instance, that teaches that prosperity is in the gospel. In that church, amongst them, if you can pick, let's say, if you can pick 5% of their number that will be in the general number, they are doing well. So can you see, it's just emotional. Yeah, God wants, there's money in the gospel. You will not lie because you are in the gospel. It's not true. Bible tells you that Jesus suffered to leave us an example that we should what? Follow after his death. Have you learned something this morning? Take our time and just bow your heads and pray in the Holy Ghost for a few more minutes.